The mask rule is now in effect. Now in effect. Now, a legislative panel last Friday passed this administrative rule. I don't want to get into all the bureaucracy of this because it's ridiculous. There's all kinds of acronyms and letters that don't go with each other of organizations and within the government that are all okaying this. But the bottom line is that the governor announced enforcement measures last week as 13 counties were put on warning that they have to reimpose some kind of social or economic restrictions to control the spread of COVID-19. So this order is going to require businesses, schools, and daycare facilities to make reasonable efforts to ensure that patrons and employees wear face coverings. He was asked about it in his press conference today and said,
"That's why I want everybody to take personal responsibility. It's why I want businesses to take responsibility for those indoor spaces that they control."
Because the numbers are going up and he wants to stop it in its track. Last week when this happened, we were on the air, we were talking about it, and inundated with phone calls going, well, why should the business be responsible for enforcing when they don't really have the manpower or the ability to enforce? If somebody just refuses, you could say, well, you got to leave, and then if they don't leave, we've heard all of the various mask holery that has happened all over the United States of America, actually all over the world. Every Friday, we like to meet the mask holes, that bit that we do every Friday where we play tape from the United States and other English-speaking countries in which there are people refusing to wear masks. So who is ultimately going to be responsible? Rob Carr is with us, president and CEO of Illinois Retail Merchant Association, and he's got thoughts on this issue. I'm sure you're hearing from a number of your members saying, hey, how are we going to be able to enforce this?
Good afternoon, Ro. Yes, we're hearing from a lot of our members. We've been hearing from them since this first popped late last week, 4 o'clock on a Friday, as I recall.
Yes, I recall that, too.
Clearly they're not happy. The governor's comments are right in that he wants individual responsibility. The problem with the rule is the individuals bear no responsibility.
Right. The responsibility falls exclusively on the businesses, which can get a ticket, right? There's like a warning system. There's a warning, then there's a ticket, and then there's a fine up to $2,500.
That's correct. And we have pointed out repeatedly, while we appreciate the assurances that the state has given as to how they would go about enforcing this, what everybody forgets, doesn't know, hasn't learned, is that locals are enforcing. And locals are not bound by the interpretation or the application of whatever assurances the state Department of Public Health gives. It's a guidance for them. So, you know, unfortunately, we have to react to what we would view as the lowest common denominator. And throughout this pandemic, we've seen locals take some very interesting and aggressive actions when it comes to businesses.
Okay, give me some examples of that.
Well, you know, we've seen them fine. We've seen municipalities where businesses have been at the very beginning of the mask mandate, mm-hmm, were fined for all sorts of small infractions. The minute the mandate went in place, we're supposed to have a sign up. Well, if it wasn't up, somebody was signing. Well, we're in the process of getting it up. I mean, everybody forgets just how quickly everything and everyone was moving throughout this endeavor. So people interpret it differently, and we want to make sure that that it's being fair here. If you're going to be fair, the approach is this. You hold the business accountable for what they control. They control whether their employees are wearing masks. They control whether they have a sign up. They control whether they have social distance markings on the floor. They don't control the actual individual. We can't lay a hand on them. We can't physically restrain them. We run afoul of all sorts of laws if we deny access to goods and services. So that needs to be on the individual. There needs to be shared responsibility here. That's what's missing.
What does happen most commonly, are you hearing from your retailers, in that transaction, if you will? Actually, you know what? Hold on one second. I want to come right back and answer that question. I'm going to ask you to stay with us for a second. Rob Carr is with us. He is the president and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchant Association. And your experience with this, if you're a store owner or if you are maybe you work at a store and you've had to enforce this, you hear these things all the time. And people, most people are going to be nice about it. That's what I have seen. Oh, I forgot. Okay, all right. I'll get a mask or I'll put it on. I forgot to do it. But then there's the people that want to make a stand for reasons that God only knows. Maybe because they would like to go viral or they would like to get viral. I have no idea. But they want to make a stand. And what do you do about that? If you're a business owner and businesses have enough trouble right now. Everybody's just struggling to stay in business. So they're caught in the middle, literally in the middle. So we'll come back to Rob. We'll also come back to your phone calls. 312-981-7200. Whose responsibility is this? Is it the store or the individual? And if the individual doesn't comply, what do you do with that individual? We'll talk about that. But first, here is Mary Vandevelde. She's got the WGN Traffic and Weather.
Free music happening live on an Old Town street. Meet some professional musicians playing for the pure love of it. Thursday's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
You know that this mandate is there's no law. It's illegal, and it is unconstitutional. But yet we are getting walked out by staff. You making us do a mask, which is unhealthy for me. It's against HIPAA and any kind of health regulations, and you're forcing me to be unhealthy.
One of my favorites. She is in the Mask Hole Hall of Fame, that woman right there at the Wynn Casino last week in Nevada. I wonder if the gigantic Zumba thing filled with a cocktail was healthy for her or not, that she was holding in her hand, too. Okay, we are talking to Rob Carr, president, CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. They're trying to figure out right now how to enforce the mask rules that are going into play here in the state of Illinois. The governor again today reiterated in his press conference that there will be enforcement of businesses that do not enforce the mask rules for and control their spaces, especially in restaurants and bars, to the degree the bars are open or will continue to be open. But stores the same way. You can put a sign up in the window. But if you don't get compliance, what do you do? As you pointed out, Rob, before we took the break, you can't put hands on somebody and force them out. What are your retailers doing there? Are they calling police? And then police are like, excuse me, I don't know. I don't even know. There's a riot over here. So what are your guys doing?
That's a great point, Rose. So, you know, going back to, if I can, go back to when we had the panic buying prior to the stay-at-home order. We asked for local law enforcement assistance with crowd control, and we're told they don't have the resources. Then in the first 2 weeks, first 3 weeks of the individual mask mandate that was put in place in the state on May 1, we asked for law enforcement help because we booked dozens of incidents, including death threats. Fortunately, we didn't have any of the tragedies that occurred in some of the other states, but dozens of these incidents, confrontations with consumers who did not want to abide, and we asked for law enforcement help, and we're told they don't have the resources. Now, it's a little different, particularly for Chicago right now, because they are dealing with riots, and we appreciate the fact they're trying to deal with those, and that's a subject for another time. But we don't have that ability to lay hands on people. At some point, we do need that law enforcement help. It can't just fall to retail. It's an unreasonable expectation. I've heard of people opine, well, sure you can. Well, go talk to an attorney and ask that attorney what they would advise their business clients to do. Any attorney that advises their business clients to lay a hand on someone needs to find a new attorney.
Yeah. Although I could find an attorney that would say that in Chicago pretty easily.
Probably could. But we're putting signs up. We're using our public address systems to talk, you know, to remind people they need to wear masks. Some are having people at the doors to remind them. Some are giving masks away as people walk in. Mm-hmm. There's a limit to what we can do. You played that clip there. As I was sitting in the joint committee hearing yesterday, a Twitter notice came up that two 17-year-olds in a Sesame Street amusement park in Pennsylvania were physically assaulted and harmed because they had asked somebody to they had intervened and asked someone to put on their masks. That's the kind of danger that retail employees are in. And now that we are forced to have this interaction, we have to figure out how to navigate that.
Yeah. It is a curious thing that people are so against the mask. It's become so political. It's become a personal thing for people as well. I mean, just take politics out of it for a moment and think about how the reaction has been. And these people that have gone viral, it's often almost a like delusional, almost crazy kind of reaction that they give to being asked to put on a mask. But again, when people are that activated, when they are that emotional about something, who wants to get in their way? And I think that's where we really have run into whatever problems we have here. That's exactly where we're having them. Because most people are in the spirit of this and understand the need. Others just want to make a stand. And you cannot stop those people and find the business. Now, let's talk about enforcement here for a second. This idea of like the three strikes until you get to the potential $2,500 fine. I think it goes as low as $75 or something. But before you actually fine somebody from the statewide, or I guess the municipalities would be enforcing this based on the statewide rule here. Is that how that would go?
That's supposed to be how it goes. But again, what everybody forgets is their locals are not necessarily completely bound by the interpretations of the state. They can have their own interpretations. They can have their own rules. They can apply it differently.
Yeah. It puts everybody in a very awkward position. So in terms of businesses, has anybody reached out to you, to your organization, and said, the Retail Merchants Association, and said, yeah, I'm up against it here. They're coming after me, and there's nothing I can do about it. Have you heard that yet?
Not yet, but again, the rule just went into place, yeah. Right? So that has not happened yet. What we're trying to do is figure out ways. We're going to put out some handouts later today that they can give to people rather than having the verbal interaction with a consumer, something that says, you know, by law, you're required to wear a mask. Please do so. Yeah. And they can hand somebody something and walk away. So you have a little bit of that distance there. We're trying to figure out ways to protect the retail employees and the retailers in this interaction.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the grander issue here of the pandemic and the economic downturn as a result of it. Where, in terms of your organization, because you're dealing with all retail merchants, the grander issue continues to be a real problem here. And then you throw looting on top of it, which we've seen in downtown Chicago and some suburbs, both this week and, of course, in May and early June. What's the outlook for the next quarter? Is there hope that these retail merchants will be able to recoup some of their losses? Do we think that the Christmas buying season is going to be any good? What is your organization thinking?
Well, there's hope, right? I mean, one of the things I've enjoyed throughout my 26 years representing retail is that retailers are inherently optimistic individuals. They're entrepreneurs. They look for the glass half full as opposed to half empty. But it's getting really hard right now to look at it that way. It's a difficult outlook. And, you know, many of them were shut down for a fairly long period of time. Many of them are operating at restricted capacity. And while everybody thinks they're just open, people forget that when you're at 50% capacity, that's just a lifeline. You're just buying time. Mm-hmm. You know, restaurants, we have significant restaurant members. They really need to get closer to 80% to even have a shot. So they're just buying time. It remains to be seen exactly how this will shake out. But then you talked about the city of Chicago. Let's set aside for a moment the riots and the looting that have occurred not once but twice in 2 months. Let's set that aside for a second. This pandemic, it could very well be changing the way people operate. People are rethinking their need for office space. So are we still going to have 2+ million people a year coming downtown every day when we get on the other side of this COVID pandemic? How long is it going to be till we get back to having 55 million visitors a year to the city of Chicago? I think those are real important questions. And my belief is that that's probably going to change dramatically. And that's something we're going to have to wrestle with because mm-hmm. it's going to change the business face as well. Okay. Then you throw on the epidemic of violence that has been going on in Chicago well before the pandemic, the epidemic of retail theft that has been going on in Chicago well before the pandemic, and now you throw on top of it looting. Again, not once but twice. We've had people who just got done rebuilding, and now they're at it again. And they're facing, people say, well, just go to your insurance company. Not that easy, because your insurance premiums skyrocket,
yeah,
and you can't afford those.
You know,
so there's a whole lot working against us here, Ro.
Yeah, Rob, I want to seize on that for a moment, because we were just actually talking to, before you came on, we were talking to an activist in Englewood who's really mad at the Black Lives Matter activists who are there, who are trying to take responsibility for intimidating police there and say, and the same organization that you saw yesterday where the woman, or 2 days ago, where the woman was saying, you know, don't worry, take what you want out of these stores, they're insured, they're fine. That is such a, well, it's a misrepresentation, but it's a lack of understanding of what that actually means. Now, just take the ethics, take the morality out of it. Just the pure business of it doesn't work. And I don't know how you explain that to somebody who thinks that in the first place, because they'd have to be just born on stupid to think that in the first place. There's no good. There's no reasoning, I don't think, with folks who believe that looting is okay or that it is good. And that's not part of a reasonable conversation. The reasonable conversation is, how do we get out of this for everybody? And how do we actually, and what leadership is it going to take to do that? I appreciate yours, Rob. Thank you very much. President and CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, Rob Carr. We got news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.